What up, though, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Checkpoint AFK, where we talk about everything going on away from the keyboard and not necessarily on the field of play. I am your host, Norris Howard, joining alongside with Callie Sloan, Chad Callahan, and Robbie Landis. What is popping, everybody? How are you doing? What's going on?
Another day in quarantine paradise.
I know, it still sucks. It was a massive thunderstorm here, so I woke up at 6, fell back asleep, and almost didn't make our call time for the podcast. So I was feeling a little rough this morning. But
do you not fall asleep to thunderstorms? Like, that is, like, the ultimate soothe to me. Like,
I fall asleep to rain, not to thunderstorms.
Well, dude, I fall asleep to anything, and I usually sleep through everything. But I don't know, it was just... It's the first time it's been a true thunderstorm in this apartment that we've been in, so I don't know. I didn't know how it sounds.
You gotta learn the new reverberations.
Yeah, gotta learn the new word, how the sound bounces and all that good stuff.
Gotcha. But it came from the left, not the right this time. Fucked you up.
No, you'd be surprised. It really does. All right, okay. But, you know, we definitely want to go into a couple really interesting stories from this week, but I just want to put it out there and say one thing before we go to our reviews or lack thereof, is that people around the country are protesting about the country opening up. They want the country to open up. Wisconsin Supreme Court just ruled that extension of stay at home is against their constitution. So Wisconsin is just fucking open.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I have a friend who lives in Wisconsin. So she's terrified.
Don't go to Wisconsin. So I don't know why.
Please be careful. And everybody who listens out there who might be a Wisconsinite, who might be a cheesehead, stay your punk ass at home. Mm-hmm. Don't be running out to the bars. Because
it'd be very difficult for people in Wisconsin, let me tell you.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying, if you have a massive spike of coronavirus, you know, infections, it's going to be really hard for the rest of the country to not, like, not give a fuck about that stuff.
I think that Texas just reported 1,000 new cases 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Here we go. Buckle up.
Exactly. Well, here's the crazy part, and I'm going to get off this high horse in a minute, but here's the crazy part. Is that the cities, the big, the inner cities, the population centers, they're on the downslope at this point. The people who were going to die pretty much have died. It's unfortunate, but it's true. The people who are getting sick, got sick and are recovering. The middle of the country where motherfuckers are 45 minutes away from the nearest hospital, 30 minutes away from the nearest health clinic, you know, up in the mountains or in the Great Plains or in places where these resources are not readily available, that's where it's going to be really devastating for people. So please, 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 I implore you to stay at home until we really get a word on this thing dying down, because 50 people going in a big population center is not going to seem like that big of a deal, but 50 people going in a town made up of 1,000 is very noticeable, and it's going to be very tragic. So please, everyone, stay safe. And even if your government has opened your state up, please use your best judgment. And
no, use better than your best judgment.
Use better than your best judgment.
Too many people out there don't have good judgment.
Yeah, you're right. And you could get drunk.
Use our judgment.
Our judgment's not good either.
Get drunk at home.
Yeah.
Get drunk at the crib. That's true.
You know how much cheaper it is to buy a bottle of wine and chuck it down by the fireplace?
Especially when it's Arbor Mist. Mango Strawberry, highly suggest.
Lila now sells.
If you get to a bottle of Barefoot or something like that, you ain't got to be bougie. Just get you a big, like, 2 liter bottle of Barefoot.
Yeah.
Arbor Mist is like $5.
Man. $8. Arbor you can get a nice bottle of Witch's Brew. Chug it down. You'll be great.
Yeah, I still haven't told you my recipe for that.
Yeah, okay, I'll need to hear
get
it.
Some Captain. I'm
Dude,
gonna
I got a couple. But anyway, Callie, do we have any reviews?
We do not. Once again.
Oh, look at that.
The disappointment continues. So,
I can't stand you.
I don't even know what to say at this point. Like,
I thought
on,
we
guys.
Might do something different instead. This is something that kind of piggybacks off what you were just talking about, Norris, with the stay-at-home orders expiring in some places and really the need for them to continue. John Oliver did this the first week that this was all starting, and I think everyone kind of needs it at this point. We kind of had to be good soldiers for a while, and it's easy to, you know, realize that a lot of people are going through some really serious stuff with this. So I was thinking maybe it would be good if everyone, if you at home and if us here, if we just took a minute to be really selfish and just, you know, judgment-free, really selfish, something you really want to do that you can't do because of coronavirus that you're abstaining from because you have to. And it's okay. Be selfish as you want. If this is the point where you're like, I want a haircut, that's fine. I mean, that's completely reasonable.
So and I then got we'll three take things.
Yeah. Go for it.
Norris got three of them.
Okay,
off top of your head, three things.
Be selfish.
Three things off the top of my head. I legit do want to get a haircut because I need to start this shit on my head over.
Yep, that's fair. That's
so
fair.
I need it, but I can't just go to any old barbershop. There's a specific barbershop that I got to go to with a specific person that I need to see, and I can't do that right now. So that's number one.
That's good.
Number two, I haven't played soccer in 3 months, and I feel flabby and sick, and I feel like a shell of myself. I've put on like 3 pounds and I look like Jabba the Hutt. I feel terrible. And number three is that, dude, I haven't been able to eat all my bougie foods. There's a new restaurant downtown that I've been wanting to check out. I don't even know if they're going to survive through the coronavirus outbreak, and I'm pissed because their menu looks great. My fiance can actually eat there. They have vegetarian options. It was going to be fucking great, and I can't go because of the coronavirus. So those are my three things as to why I'm selfish, why I'm pissed off.
There you go. Chad, be selfish. What's something you're wanting to do?
I want to go shopping. I want to go shopping. I'm moving in like maybe in the next week. We'll find out. The damn seller won't give me a date. But like, come on. I just want to go shopping for stuff. Like, this is supposed to be a moment where I'm like, I could just let loose and go crazy, and I can't. Like,
not a moment where you can let loose and go crazy.
Bit,
you need to save money right now. You don't know how expensive this is going to end up being.
That's my point. I guess my point is like, I need to go crazy as far as like picking out countertops and paint and stuff. Like, I can't like go easily that. Like, I'd have to go and with a face mask, and like, it's not as fun. I'm not gonna like lounge around and like compare things really well like I would normally. I'd be like,
ooh,
this
sorry,
good.
I got a 4 point.
Oh my god.
Not surprised.
No, I just realized we can't go look at wedding venues, man.
No.
That's the part
That's fair.
So go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm gonna make all of you look really bad. I am thriving in quarantine. I don't need to go no place. I don't want to go no place. We're saving money like I have never saved money before. This is great.
I mean, that's the good part. I'm saving right, hella money fair. Right now.
I am saving money.
All right, Callie.
So I think my biggest thing is right after I started transitioning, I got my appointment made to get laser hair removal on my face and neck.
Yeah.
And of course, the cosmetology center is closed down, so I can't get that done. So I'm just sitting here waiting. I've had to rebook my appointment like every 2 weeks for the next 2 weeks, and now I'm sitting here at June 3rd like, okay, this is my fourth attempt to get this done. Please, I just don't want to have 5 o'clock shadow anymore. Is that too much to ask? I hate this.
Is it easier to get that done earlier in this process, or doesn't matter?
It really doesn't matter.
Okay.
Your facial hair doesn't really change all that much despite the hormones until you're like 5 years in, so you might as well just go get it done.
Just do it easy. Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm just not able to grow a full beard, so it is what it is. But anyway, we're going to take a slight break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the start of Summer Games Fest and the Unreal Engine demo that showed up. And also, why do people keep doing this when they call it gameplay? So we're going to talk a lot about that coming up. Checkpoint AFK. Make sure you stay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Ha ha ha! The latest in college esports from the students that play.
Behind the scenes at the schools that game.
The only place where esports are
on campus.
Hello, everyone. I'm Diane from Checkpoint XP on campus, and it's Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. Today, we are shining a spotlight on Japanese game designer Katsuya Iguchi. He is a senior producer and deputy general manager at Nintendo and has worked on popular games like Super Mario Bros., Super Smash Bros., Animal Crossing, and many others. In 1986, when he was 21 years old, he moved to Kyoto to work for Nintendo. Feeling lonely and isolated, something we can all relate to right now, he was inspired to create the game Animal Crossing. We thank Katsuya for having such an impact on the gaming industry.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK. We talk about everything away from the keyboard. Your host, Norris Howard, here along with the squad. If you haven't done so already, make sure you slide over to our website, checkpointxp.com, where you can find all of our shows, a repository of all the good writing that we do for various stories in the world of video games and esports, and also really cool contests that Chad works on so diligently.
And quizzes.
To try to put some... And quizzes, yeah, try to put some prizes in y'all's hands, man. Y'all not doing nothing. You at the crib, you sitting at home, you ain't got nothing to do. You're just chilling, and you need to be doing some quizzes and checking out the website. So make sure you go to the website, checkpointxp.com. Now, last week was the beginning of Summer Games Fest. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Summer Games Fest, this is a season-long event stretching from May all the way through August. It is the brainchild of Jeff Keighley, who is, I mean, pretty much the foremost, you know, media guy, organizer, and authority on the video games industry.
He's becoming the godfather of gaming in a way. Like, if he keeps
pretty much kind of like, if we talk about diseases, we go to Dr. Fauci. We talk about video games, we go to Jeff Keighley.
I'm sure that's the comparison, you know, he would want.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I that's how I feel. But Summer Games Fest is really done in a way that it's supposed to be kind of replacing those big announcements from those big conferences and conventions.
Tokyo Game Show got canceled.
Yeah, we have no TGS, no Gamescom, no E3, no Comic-Con, no there's anything large and anticipatory in terms of video games is gone. So Jeff Keighley called up all of his people, all of his industry connects, and put together this event. And the first stream of Summer Games Fest just so happened to be a couple days ago, and about the Unreal Engine 5. Now, before we get into how people reacted, or before we get into, you know, how folks feel about how the presentation actually was handled, the one thing I will say is Unreal 5 looks fucking phenomenal. It looks really good.
Oh, it does.
Oh,
look
that
gorgeous.
Light engine. Yeah, that light engine alone, like, they were like pointing that out. I was like, all right, this is really cool. Like, it's really pretty and like spot on. Like, it looks like real act. Like, I just went outside.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I'm really enjoying about, like, this next gen is what I told people many, many times is graphical fidelity is not going to be about that. It's not going to be about taking someone's face and making their face look realer. What it's going to be about is detail. It's going to be about the ability to walk inside of a building and every single solitary book on a bookshelf is unique and has, like, a unique title and color and wording. Every you know, street is going to have these little details. Every environment is going to just be that much more real. And lighting is a big part of that. So, I mean, that is something that the nerds get really turned up about, this Lumen engine or this Lumen plugin that's supposed to help anybody using the Unreal Engine 5. And it's a great engine. I'm not even going to lie. It looks really cool. And seeing what they've been able to do with Unreal 4 in Fortnite.
Oh no.
He's dead. Oh no. Hold on.
Yeah, okay. No, he's completely frozen up on us.
All right. Well,
there
he is.
Maybe.
Are you there, Norris? Back?
Oh, did they lose me?
We heard Unreal you were comparing 4. It to Unreal 4, and then you were gone.
Oh, no. But anyway, all I was saying is everything they were able to do with Fortnite and Unreal 4 is great. And rendering all the graphics and stuff, it was awesome. So that was pretty much the demo. It was like a demo of, you know, generic platformer adventure game. It was a tech demo. You know, this game is probably never coming out.
It's not a real game. It's not a
game we're actually going to see.
Yeah, it's not a game we're actually going to play.
This was to show you the potential that actual developers will use the engine for.
Yes, yeah. So, and you know, it was impressive from that standpoint. Okay. Now we get into the part that frustrates me and frustrates many people. Before I get on my soapbox, which I know I could do, this is not gameplay.
No.
All right? It's not gameplay. Are we to a point now with all the information out about Xbox Series X, about PlayStation 5, which, by the way, this was running off of PlayStation 5 the first time we've seen anything done in real time on the PlayStation 5.
Correct.
Are we to a point now where they got to stop doing this shit?
Well,
they gotta stop.
What they need to start doing is just being more accurate about what they're actually showing us. Technically, what we saw was gameplay, but that wasn't the full story. Like you said, it was a tech demo. This isn't a game that anyone is ever actually going to be able to play. Now, it wasn't as egregious as Microsoft, who actually came out and apologized, because even they said, you know what, you guys were right. There wasn't as much gameplay in there as what we thought was going to be in there.
No,
right?
We were right. Peckpoint XP in particular was right, because we started the meme. We started that way.
Yes. The point is, Microsoft literally said, this is what you're getting, and didn't show that. Now, the Unreal Engine was a tech demo that showed what gameplay could look like, but this isn't a game that anyone is ever going to get a chance to play. But it was more than what Microsoft said. And the bigger part, I think, is that no one going into the Unreal sort of experience or the Unreal demo, I think, was promised beforehand, we're going to show you all the upcoming gameplay that you can expect for the year. Here it is. So I think it's just about these developers and these companies need to start being a little bit more transparent with exactly what they're showing us. Because when you tell a gamer, this is what you're getting, and then they don't get it, that stays with us forever, right?
We're going to notice.
That's a wound that ain't going to heal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the part for me that just didn't rub me well is that, you know, when it comes to Summer Games Fest so far, everything has been so, like, shrouded in secrecy. It's just like, ooh, the first stream starts today. Who are we talking? Like, no, just say.
Well, they got
Unreal
a drum
Engine
of hype, man. Come
no,
on.
Unreal
well, why?
Engine 4.
We're all hyped Unreal- up already.
We're all hyped. There's no.
What,
Robbie,
what else we got
shit
to do?
Else to be hype about.
Nah, so let Keely oh, have his a, fun, man.
No, if they like, we all got hyped up about a PlayStation 5 systems architecture talk from Mark Cerny that was supposed to be for GDC. Okay,
it was hard.
Okay. It was boring.
That was on y'all. You know the type of stuff that comes out of GDC,
nope.
And that was
but
Sony,
they didn't say it,
not
all,
Keely.
They didn't say that. They didn't say that. They said, this is a stream about the PS5, and everybody got hyped up, and then it was just a bunch of bleeps and bloops and numbers and talking about hard drive space. So, again, I like it because I like to talk about systems architecture, but everybody doesn't. I like talking about game engines. I think game engines are cool. I like to see the tools that game developers are going to have for the next generation. I recognize everybody doesn't feel that way. They want to know about the games.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, I'll say the GDC thing, that was so much too on the gaming media, because Sony's take on that was like, hey, we're going to air our stuff from the game developers conference. And then
yes,
the media report on that
from GDC.
Then the media report on it was like, mm-hmm. exclusive first look at the PlayStation 5. And it's like, okay, well, that's not what they said, though. It technically, yeah, you're right. It is our first look at the PS5, but that's not what you mean.
Yeah, that definitely might be.
I mean, it was
the
first look at the PS5. Yeah. It was just the guts of the PS5.
Exactly. It was technically accurate, but it was like clickbaity. It was the presentation equivalent of clickbait.
I'm not going to hold Sony responsible for that, because they gave us what they said they were going to give us. Then everyone else just got their expectations too high.
Yeah, right. I think it was a bit too hyped.
Here's what I do want to hold Sony accountable for right now, guys. It's time. We're coming in on T-minus 6 months from release. It's time for your stream. It's time for your actual marketing consumer unveiling. We're 6 months away. Like, I mean, obviously, it would have been at E3 normally, so technically they have till mid-June before I really am going to be pissed if they haven't done it yet. But, I mean, it's getting to be time. Like, Microsoft has fired their first salvo. It's time to answer. Let's go.
No, listen. Expecting anything from Sony before June, I think, was wishful thinking. I don't think they ever were going to unveil anything before June. I don't think they would have been ready before June. And I think they're still the one thing I will give the game developers is everybody has had to reposition. Everybody has had to rethink how they're presenting this information. So I understand that there's some weirdness involved. My thing with Summer Games Fest is that announce what you're talking about. Tell us what you're talking about.
Well, here's the thing, though. They're probably still trying to figure that out.
No, dude, but don't say, you know, oh my God, we're going to do an amazing stream. It's going to be our opening stream, and you got to watch to find out who we talk to. I don't like that. That's whack. I don't like
that
at all.
That's how you get the viewers, man.
Tell me what you're going to talk about. I'm going to watch it regardless because it's my job. And
sure,
I feel like the people who watch us need to know. But the fact of the matter is that everybody's talking about transparency. Everybody's talking about how game developers and game companies need to be better with communicating with their audience. Everybody talks about how more information needs to be out there and more information needs to be accurate that's out there. I just feel like don't do a bait and switch, man. Don't do a bait and switch. Have it what you're going to talk about.
That's not really a bait and switch.
If you were going to talk about Unreal Engine, say you're talking about Unreal Engine, and I would have watched it anyway. And I think a lot of people also would have watched it anyway. But the point is that you're going to, if you continue to do something like this, people are going to tune out unless it's an official Sony or Microsoft stream.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you continue to do this. But what you have to realize is that, in all honesty, right, the whole summer games industry was canceled. Pure and simple, we shouldn't be getting anything, right? But Jeff Keighley is scrambling within, 1-2 months' time to try and put something together across the entire industry. Like, the names and the companies that he has that have been willing to actually be like, all right, you know what? Yeah, we're going to work with you and get stuff out there is insane. The names and the brands that he has on there. Now, knowing what we know of the industry, talking to folks that we've talked to in the past, putting together events like this do not happen in 1 or 2 months' time. I mean, Riot, for Pete's sake, takes a year when they're doing just Worlds, and you're talking about industry events that take companies from all over the world, and Keighley's managed to put these together in 1 or 2 months. And we don't want this to be a one-time thing. We want this to be the future of games, right? This is the type of thing that could, if done right, end up supplanting stuff like E3 in the future. And you're not going to do that by playing it transparent and being like, all right, the first thing that's coming up is going to be the Unreal Engine demo. A lot right there. That phrase is going to turn some people off. So you're right. Mm-hmm. Going forward, they can't be mysterious about everything, but you do have to drum up hype. You do have to get eyeballs on it. This has to be as successful as it can be if Keighley wants to continue going forward with it. They need eyes
Massive miscalculation. I thought it was stumbling out of the starting blocks. I really liked the stream itself that they did. I mean, they also talked
to you're a national treasure, man.
No, listen, you already know me. I am a Keeley fan to the death of me. I just think that this was a really weird first thing to show off, right? This is something I expected out of Epic by themselves putting this out. I wouldn't expect this to be a part of Summer Games Fest because it's not a game. So that was the first thing you saw in chat all throughout the entire thing was, but it's not a game though. And I'm not saying that chat is correct at all. But what I'm saying is that you have to be conscious of the response you're going to get. So the biggest thing to me is that if you're going to have something like Summer Games Fest, you don't have the leeway that Square Enix and EA and all the others used to have back in the day where they could get 90 minutes and take time talking about the Frostbite engine or talking about the Unreal engine. I remember when Square Enix, I think in, what was it, 2008 or 9, I could be wrong on my year, showed off Crystal Tools for the first time and everybody went, oh my God, the games are gonna look so beautiful. And then they couldn't use Crystal Tools properly for years and then they abandoned it. After two games. So, I mean...
All right, you're talking about Square Enix's proprietary system as opposed to Unreal Engine 5. Everyone uses Unreal. This isn't something that
What I'm explaining to you is the average consumer does not give a shit about what engine a game is using.
And yet, you know, it's kind of a bummer that they don't. I agree with you that they don't. Really should, because if you, like... Guess what all your games are going to look like for the next generation? Like, most of them are going to use Unreal or some facsimile of it. I don't... Like, we're not going to have the era of... It's going to be Frostbite. It's going to be
Frostbite or Unreal.
And, God, is that it? I mean, I don't know what Unity is going to look like in the future. Maybe they'll have a new version of Unity.
Maybe Unity for small studios.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, like, these are what your games are going to look like. So there is a lot of value in it. Now, here's my hope. Was this the Thursday of a convention? Were these the Thursday panels?
Probably. Yeah, like
absolutely. 1 to 2 months worth of time to prep, basically. Keeley's basically taking whatever he can get from these companies. So the longer down the timeline we're going to go and the more time that they have to prep something, the better these are going to be.
I actually think
the weirdest thing about this whole thing, I in some ways I understand why they wanted to do this for like this weird long-term thing. Just maybe it's to kind of fill gaps and stuff, or like to get people like thinking about it while they're in quarantine. But like, it seems so quick. 4 months seems like a long time. I mean, there's only three major events and there's like, what, 3 or 4 days in each of them. I don't know why we needed 4 months instead of like 1 month, perhaps.
Trying to wrangle all of those developers.
It gives them more time to
organize. These companies were going to put out all of this stuff in their own regardless. This is just Keeley basically taking the initiative to be able to grab all of it, put it into quote-unquote one place, to kind of take credit for himself. But that's the reason why. You know, Sony isn't going to want to share the same weekend putting their announcements out as Microsoft did, as Epic did. People are going to want their announcement to have room to breathe on their own.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. So, listen, the Ghost of Tsushima actual gameplay demo came out a few days ago, and that's what I mean. Like, do that. Show your game. Show me the actual person, and it's like, oh, there's an X button on the screen. You see him press the X button. You see him do this. You see him do this. From here on out, that's all we need to have. Unless we're talking about the PS5 and everything that comes with it. That's the last hardware discussion I want to have. That's the last engine discussion I want to have. Everything from here to forth throughout the summer needs to be talking about what the hell you want me to spend my money for. Because I haven't seen anything that makes me want to spend my money, which is the end result of all this shit. So let's just keep focus on that point. But anyway,
I have a quick side note, just real quick. I typed in summergamesfest.com. I don't know what I misspelled or what, because I didn't look. But when I clicked it, it took me into, it literally just an image popped up on the screen of a hot dog inside of a taco shell, one of those flat taco shells you put on a plate with a bunch of cheese puffs. So I don't know if someone could help me figure that out, why that happens when you type in summergamesfest.com, but that's fine.
So we're going to take a quick break and make sure we scrub Chad's computer because he clearly been looking at some weird stuff. So we're going to be right back with more Checkpoint AF.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, this is Norris Howard from Checkpoint XP on campus with your College Esports Quick Hit. The Collegiate Star League Grand Finals are back, and that means one of the biggest events in college esports returns with thousands of dollars in scholarships on the line. The CSL Grand Finals pit the best in North American colleges against each other in Street Fighter V, League of Legends, Dota 2, Magic the Gathering Arena, and more. The games begin Saturday, May 30th, with games running throughout the weekend. That was your College Esports Quick Hit. For more, head on over to our website, CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, what's up? I'm Robbie from Checkpoint XP.
And I'm Jake from the Overwatch League casting team. And together, we're your hosts of the Owl's Nest.
With the Overwatch League up and running again, we'll be bringing you all the latest from the league and within Overwatch.
But it's important that we all do our part to flatten the curve by staying home during the COVID-19 outbreak.
So stay home.
Stay healthy.
And we'll see you every Friday night on the Owl's Nest before the Overwatch League weekend.
Check it out at the Checkpoint XP YouTube channel or at CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK. Right back at you one more again. Still coming to you from the belly of the beast, aka my apartment. So, we also, another great announcement that actually happened that actually looked like people playing the video game, but it was a trailer, is the remake of Tony Hawk 1 and 2.
Yes!
This is something nobody expected.
Yeah, it kind of came out of left field, didn't it?
I mean, kind of. I feel like we've been hearing about it for, like, it's kind of like the same thing as, like, the Mass Effect remake. We hear about it every few years, and, like, eventually it'll probably come true. Although rumor has it that's actually happening now, so that's exciting. Anyway, here's the only thing that matters about the Tony Hawk remake announcement. Original soundtrack's coming back. Nailed it.
Aw, yeah. Yep.
Flat out.
So I wonder if they're going to add a couple more. Like, do you think that they're going to add like
don't
a few?
Do
no, they
don't
said
do
they, because they're going to have the create a park mode, so they'll have tracks added for that and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, okay. But not in the actual game.
Create a park mode. That's actually pretty cool.
I like the idea. Yeah.
Well, create a park was in Tony Hawk 2, so. Yeah. Yeah, it was in Tony Hawk 2. So, you know, we're at a point now where video games are finally movies, and everything is being remade and updated for a new audience to be consumed once more. And for as excited as I am about the Tony Hawk remake, a part of me is a little sad that there's just not a new skate game. A part of me is a little bit sad that they didn't try to maybe bust Tony Hawk games down to the foundation and start over. A part of me is a little bit sad that, you know, a lot of these games are not necessarily going to get, or at least as it seems right now, the next-gen treatment I think that it really deserves. And so I want to pose a question to you guys. Are we approaching the point where the remake culture, because they've worked so well, where the remake culture may begin to stifle these game developers a little bit, especially legacy developers like, you know, your Capcoms and your Squares and stuff like that?
I don't know, because, I mean, maybe it's not Tony Hawk that's making the new innovative, you know, skate game, but, like, Skate 4 is, like, slated to come out in 2022, so it's not like it's a genre that's just fallen away. Maybe the Tony Hawk series a little bit, but,
I mean,
like,
but it has. Skate 3 came out in, like, what, 2008?
14 years, something like that.
Well, but that, yeah. But at the same time, what you're saying is like it's gone. But 2010.
Yeah,
but like Skate 4 is slated for 2022, so that's not like it's going away.
Yeah, I mean, 12 you know what I mean?
Years though between games.
Like Kingdom like, Hearts I mean. Has nothing on that.
I do think you need to keep in mind too that with the way that development cycles are starting to end up, that some games are taking longer and longer to come out. I mean, how long did it take Final Fantasy 15 as well to be released, right?
Before we go anywhere else, we got to stop using Square Enix as any sort of barometer as to what a normal development cycle should ever be, okay?
We're not saying like, it should be normal.
No.
This is what can happen.
If we're going to look at a development cycle, let's not look at a company renowned for having long-ass, bloated, convoluted development cycles. I'm just saying that Skate 3, a game that is very good, that doesn't require nearly the amount of time or resources that a 90-hour RPG would require, shouldn't take 12 years to have a new iteration.
But at the same time, do we need... It's like the Call of Duty treatment to me. Like, do we really need to have a new Skate 3, Skate 4, Skate 5 every couple of years? I don't think so. I think Skate 3 is a good game. It holds up for a long period of time. I don't need a Skate 4 until 12 years.
You probably
later.
Need one every console cycle. It's maybe one, it's one of those.
Yes. So what, it was 2010. What, I guess that would have been still PS2 era.
It's like Street Fighter. It's like Street Fighter to me. If I get one Street Fighter per gen, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You so, can put out another one, that's fine. But if you put out one Street Fighter per gen, I'm fine.
So like, I think it doesn't matter with the whole, like, Xbox, what do they call it? I'm blanking on that their stream platform, but like they have all these things like Game Pass. Like, I don't think we need, it's not necessary anymore. Like, I could go back and play Skate 3 and feel just as good about it because it's on, you know, the Xbox One or PS5 or what, you know, whatever, because of these stream things. I think that's the era of the past. Like, take your time, make a game good. Don't listen to everybody. Like, if it takes you 12 years, make it in 12 years.
But the point I'm bringing up though, Chad, is that it's not so much about putting the game out every gen. It's the fact that you're making a decision to take a game you've already made and redo it, as opposed to making a new one.
So, I don't know.
I think in the case of the Tony Hawk games, I don't think that skating in, you know, like the whole X-Sports type stuff has been as popular, especially with this generation, whatever, as it was with our generation growing up, right? Tony Hawk huge, right?
Yeah.
When Skate, you know, 3 or 4 comes out, I'm sure the people who really enjoyed those will probably go and pick them up and give them a try. But someone like me, who I wouldn't say I was a Skate fan, I still played Tony Hawk. Like, everyone played Tony Hawk. So I think that this is maybe, in order to really hit, you're not going to hit the same cultural touchstone as you did, but in order to be able to hit even close to what you want to with a game, I think they do need the boost of the nostalgia that comes with the Tony Hawk games, as opposed to just Skate 4.
So I think, Norris, you're going to definitely see some newer games be stifled in the name of remakes because, and I'll go back to what you said earlier in the show, as we get to this next gen, when you go into a library and look at a bookcase, all those books are going to have unique names. Development times on games are only going to continue to skyrocket. So what are you going to go with? A brand new game that's a huge risk, or a game that's remade and has an established fan base?
I mean, but not necessarily, though, Callie, because we have games that are utilizing a lot of stuff like procedural generation. We have a lot of stuff that's being used in terms of AI helping you create these environments that can still create unique environments and very detailed environments. So I don't necessarily think that, you know, games will become, quote-unquote, longer to develop for. I think that you have to have a willingness as a developer to take those risks. Let's look at a game like The Last of Us. Naughty Dog already was making money hand over fist with Uncharted. They made money the generation before or two generations before with the Crash Bandicoot series. But they took a chance on a dark, gritty, really kind of survival horror game at a time where nobody asked Naughty Dog to do that. Nobody was like, I really hope Naughty Dog would make a gritty, realistic survival horror game. Nobody did that.
I think you're comparing apples and oranges.
Okay, how am
I? Because we're basing a gritty horror game, which is kind of like, in one aspect, kind of timeless. Like, horror is always going to be a genre that sticks around. Whereas skateboarding is very, I don't think, it might be around forever, but I don't think the audience is going to be the same.
Fair.
Or it's going to fluctuate in time.
It's a niche game,
fair.
I think,
that's
at this fair. Point. Yeah.
It is a niche game. That's fair. I will walk that back. But I think the bigger thing is that everything that we've seen when we do talk about, development cycles, and we do talk about game engines, is about empowering game developers so they don't have to spend 24 months just building a world, not including voice acting and, all that other stuff, animations, all that other stuff. We're getting to a point now where AI is going to be able to assist with a lot of game development. And so I don't think you will have the ability to justify having a game that gets developed for that long, unless that's a part of the process. Like, they had a movie. What's the name of that movie? It's called Boyhood. It was a movie called Boyhood, where, like, they took every year they filmed something for 10 years to show growth, actual physical growth in these people. So unless it's an art project like that, there's no reason for a development cycle to be that long.
There are two things to keep in mind that I think kind of shoot holes in that argument, Norris. The first is that the parent companies of these games getting their fingers in there and changing things over and over and over again. We've seen that with multiple games constantly being restarted or rehashed or people being brought onto the project. So the human element.
Right.
The second part is that as tools allow us to streamline the development process of games, it's also going to allow the creators' initial visions to become bigger, and they're going to want to add more to the game.
The other half of that is every generation, like clockwork, we've seen development times of games increase. I think it's foolhardy to believe that it won't again. If anything, as AI comes in and helps developers be able to do this faster, I think we're more likely to see companies start cutting back staff to make and let AI fill in. I think that's more likely outcome.
That's fair, but that also worries me because you have games like No Man's Sky, which are big for no reason.
Yeah,
and then you have games like even Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is a game I love to the death of me. I love that game. For most people, that game is way too fucking big. It's way too big. There's no way the normal person is going to make a dent in Assassin's Creed
Odyssey. I beat Origins, but didn't explore half the map, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I think that comes with some very, very scary precedents. I'd rather a smaller world that is significantly more detailed than just giving me a big sandbox that I'm not going to give a fuck about half.
I'd rather a small, fuller world.
Yeah, exactly. But I think to do that, you have to have a developer that's willing to take a chance on these new IPs or newer games. By having a remake, every remake is not going to be Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
Let's put it out there. Flat out.
It's the only one of its kind as of now.
Not as of now, but let's just be in... Well, no, because you had the Resident Evil remakes, and both of those are phenomenal.
I don't think they're at the same level as FF7, though.
I'd agree with that, and that's my point, is that it's easier to look at a Tony Hawk or a Resident Evil and remake that game and go, all right, let's make some money. It is a lot harder for somebody to say, you know what, we are going to take this massive game that has so much cultural relevance and remake it with a different vision. And I feel like there's gonna be a company that's gonna go out and try to do that. It's probably going to be Capcom because they got a whole bunch of legacy brands, so they're probably going to try to remake another brand, and it's not going to work, and they're going to lose a fuck ton of money, and it's really going to affect them, and that's just what I worry about. I'd much rather a company fold, or I'd much rather a company take a chance. I've never thought I'd say this, but EA, for as much as I hate them and as much as I hate Anthem, they tried something new. It was a game that was new. I'll give them that. It's the only thing I'll give them with Anthem, because Anthem is a steaming pile of dog doo-doo. But I'll give them the fact that they tried a new IP and they didn't just lean on Mass Effect for another game, even though people really, really wanted it. That takes balls. It failed, but it takes balls.
They're probably going to fail a second time, but...
They're going to fail. It's not going to be bad. But anyway, that's going to be it for our show because Callie's got to get out of here. So we're going to have to cut it a little short. I really enjoyed this conversation, guys. I'm really excited to see what the future holds. I'm excited for Tony Hawk. I'll probably buy it because it probably won't be a full price game. It'll probably come out for like $30. And I think that's really cool. So, you know, and that's another thing. If you're going to do remakes, which I'm kind of pissed at Resident Evil for doing this, if you're going to come out with remakes of a game like Tony Hawk, don't put it out at $60. Make it $40. Call it a day. But that's going to be it from us. Great conversations as usual. And we are going to be back next week with another episode of Checkpoint AFK.
We'll be back. Memorial Day.
We'll be back. I don't care if you hear, Chad. We'll be back.
Fine, bye. I'll take my vacation.
Anyway,
fuck off.
Anyway, for Chad Callahan, Callie Sloan, and Robbie Landis, that's your show, and we'll see you guys later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.